Wiese und Müller Unplugged. The podcast for everything that gets us in motion.
Hello and welcome to a new episode in our podcast Riese and Müller Unplugged. My name is Jule Jankowski and on this channel we're talking to people working for and working with Riese and Müller and their way of working. So we will, what we call, disclose some back-end stories, and today I'll be talking to somebody directly from Riese and Müller, and not just anybody, it is Markus Papke, and Markus is Head of Innovation Strategy at Riese and Müller, so presumably somebody who's heading directly towards the future. So I'm really glad to have him here in our studio, and first of all, Markus, hello, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Yeah, welcome from the present. I'm doing fine. Thank you. I'm happy to be on this podcast and to talk a little bit more about the topics I'm involved in.
So you're still in the present, not in the future, as I mentioned.
Still in the present, working on the future, and then just returned from Paris. Quite an interesting city also when it comes to cycling around large European cities.
Yeah, that is really striking what's going on in Paris and especially the urban mobility concept there. Yeah, that's perfect. Markus, what is there anything you have moved already today? Anything what gets you in motion today? Have you moved your bike already this morning?
not yet. Later, probably, I will jump on my e-cargo bike, the Load. I'm not much of an early morning person, but still, I got showered, I had some breakfast, and I prepared also for the session here. I had a quick chat also with my team members. So, yeah, that's how I started the morning. But sort of, I'm more like a night person,
I'll
jump on the bike later onwards because I have more like this now. It's called it a flexible work style or this new normal where you are sitting first in your home office and recording a podcast and then you jump on a bike and go back to your workplace.
Another form of multimodality, yeah, in the way of working. Well, you're going through some, let's call it, special times at Riese and Müller. You've just presented a new series. What's the mood like in the company at the moment? What's going on?
Yeah, I think everyone is really, really excited about a new product line, starting from production, where the production unit is really happy to get this new bike into their hands. We also received, after the launch, very good feedback from dealers and also customers alike. I think really interestingly is that also many of our sales representatives give us the feedback that we have consumers, even in the US or overseas, that are calling different dealers when they can get an urban bike in their hands, when they can purchase it, what are the delivery times. I think we are in a good mood. I think that the feedback was very positive, and we all know it's still a starting point. And much more of this urban line is to come in the future.
Mm-hmm. So you just mentioned it. Let's go back to the starting point of urban, the name of the new product line. We will come to this later on and present it directly. In your company, in Riese Müller, you observe in a very, let's say, structured way what's changing in the market, and not only in the market, I would even say in whole society. So what was your observation? What have you observed within the last month or even years? What has changed in terms of mobility?
Yeah, I think we could observe many things. I think on a first-hand side, and that's something also I could observe in Paris, is that urban mobility is really changing. I think I also looked into some studies. I think in Paris particularly, they had, like, through the pandemic from 2019 to 2021, they have 67% more cyclists on the cycling paths. So you really see an absolute massive increase that the e-bike is becoming more and more popular. I think the market also last year grew by 25%. And in some countries, if you look at the US, for instance, the number of electric bikes sold even outweighs or outnumbers the number of electric vehicles sold. So I think that's quite interesting. So I think the e-bike is becoming really, really popular. The market is really booming. And we looked very closely into that, what consumers need. We looked into what do our dealers give us in feedback, what they need as a product. I mean, if you look at our website at the moment, we have more than 20 different models, from heavy duty cargo to a lightweight or more lighter compact, like the Tinker, for instance, or our Charger or Nevo, some of the best selling models we have. And we did a lot of research. What does the market need? What do we are we missing in our portfolio? And also what is happening, yeah, so to speak, in the startup ecosystem for e-bikes. You have new companies entering the market, such as FunMove, very popular, or Cowboy, for instance. They receive a lot of funding. Cowboy just recently received $80 million of investment to grow their company. You have also smaller companies. If you look closely in Germany, you have Coburg, you have interesting companies like Ridretto, and they're really changing and stirring up the market and also setting more focus on software, on digital interaction with the bike. And that was very interesting. And I think what was also for us at Riesenmüller internally, one sort of big sort of moment, so to speak, or where we came to a new conclusion is when we also had a meeting. And I remember when Markus Riese, he brought along a slide deck where he just presented a very simple way to say, what if sort of the bike market and also our bike portfolio in the future goes into two directions? And one direction is one that is driven more like automotive one. Yeah. So it's becoming more, let's see, a real replacement for the car, both in terms of cargo. If you think about technology, you think about high speed pedelecs where you can cruise at 45 kilometers per hour. Think about high beam lights, daytime running light, ABS control units, really technology that is coming from the automotive into the bike. And if you stand in front of our Super Delight or our Load, you really get a clear understanding what this automotive sort of likeness feels like and is. And the second one, and I think this is something also where we're heading with this new model range, is what if there's also a need in the market and really the willingness of customers to have an e-bike, which is like a bike. So really all these sort of mixing and combining the best of both worlds, so to say, the design, the lightness, the just really the good feel and look of a bike. With all the benefits of the motor support and everything of an e-bike. And I think this is sort of where our sort of starting point was, where to say, okay, let's explore those both sort of directions. Mm-hmm. And also it was clear that in this e-bike as a bike area, we were not involved too much at the moment. And we needed to act in a certain way and find partners and solutions to be attractive also to new target groups. And I think target groups, it's more like a marketing sort of definition, is also something we try to figure out also for our dealers. I mean, we're selling in Europe through more than 1,000 dealers. How can they actually attract new target groups? Also, in comparison to other brands, which are only selling online or really are entering the market with high investments. And I think that was also interesting. How can we attract new target groups beyond our current target group?
Mm-hmm. So talking these two distinct developments, Urban stands more for a more minimalistic design. So do you think it's a kind expression of a new, what we call Zeitgeist? Is there like a trend towards the beauty of less?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, you could say, on the one hand side, it's an end result, and on the other hand side, it's also something many consumers just expect. It's like I often said, it's for comparison, it's like the iPhone. They have this "it just works" mentality, and inside, it's absolutely complex. That also applies to an e-bike, but on the outside and for the user, it's just pure simplicity. And we also interestingly found one of the studies. There is a bike personality study conducted in Germany. And they have this urban biker, young urban biker prototype. And I think what is also important to understand, and what I think many also of our listeners in this podcast will find themselves in, people want an e-bike which is low maintenance, where you don't need to be an engineer or have any high technological knowledge to sort of use this bike. It's just simple. Yeah? And it's also a certain statement in terms of style. And I think this You clearly see it. I think if you also look into Paris, it's not only their style of clothing, it's also their style of biking, so to say. So I think this all comes together, and I think it's a nice thing, or also people really like it, that a product is nice. And it's also something that also is in the feedback. The feedback is in many ways not always driven around, well, this is the most technologically advanced bike. It's often like, wow, this is just beautiful, beautiful colors, beautiful welding, beautiful just integration. And I think this is something we wanted to achieve. And I think this really sort of meets this new type of zeitgeist.
So it's the idea of being effortless, being easy, being cool, being relaxed. And the effortlessness is on the side of the customer, not on your side, for sure. I mean, that's the high ambition for you. So within the last years, the trends has been within e-bikes, in my observation, just the other way around. So there were a lot of more functionality. So cargo bikes, you mentioned, have become much bigger, heavier, and so on. Do you see a contradiction within the two? Or is it like, as you mentioned before, the diverse, so to say, developments within the bike industry and within your customers?
Yeah, I think it's just the things add up very well, I would say. And I think you always need to compare, what do I need which sort of bike for? I think that the new product line we represented is something for more like a single user, really cruising with no or a little bit of cargo through the city, getting from low to short to mid distances around the city. And if you compare this to a cargo bike, which is there to maybe replace a car, to do your grocery shopping, to transport two or three kids from kindergarten or to school and back, I think it's just, also in kilograms to be transported, it's just a different set. And I think this all blends very, very perfectly together, I think. And clearly, also with this new, what we call optimal assist, it's a new approach. It's saying, okay, you just need, we have the right sort of performance. And this is sufficient for what you need, but it's clearly not the right support to climb whatever mountains in the Alps or do downhill racing. But it really helps the product to be positioned in a very good way. And as I mentioned, the good thing and the idea is that with our more than 20 models in our lineup, we try to position them in different areas. One is more for families. One is more for really the long distance, high speed pedelec commuter who's doing whatever 30 kilometers per commute every day back and forth. And I think that all blends very, very nicely together. But we also see that in the cities, it's just sufficient with what we have in the new urban product line.
Okay. Urban, let's go back to urban itself. So what was the first reaction from the market, from the dealers? Or if you have even received direct feedback from customers? So what did they say? What was it like the first reaction?
I think the most interesting or very first reaction was when we first presented it internally. We had a better sales meeting a while back ago. And we sort of entered the room and had some black linen over the new models. And did a presentation and unveiled them. And then I think a big excitement was in the room and someone said, well, I will buy this. Oh, wow, this is beautiful. And I think this was a great momentum. And I think we will also see this now in the future. We also took the bikes to the first trade fairs just recently in Munich. And it really attracts attention. I mean, there are also podcasters, Instagrammers, other media outlets out there where it just attracts attention. But I think that the real sort of feedback will come when we will have the test bikes in store, because this is also really sort of where a big moment. We also did another meeting where we sort of went into the middle of the Odenwald, into a hidden spot and offered some first test rides on prototypes. And everyone was really exciting, because I think that applies to all of our reasonable bikes. We always say you need to test ride a bike. And then I can see no one who hasn't got a big smile on his face when he's test riding the bike. And this was also, or is also, true for the new urban models, because it's just a nice feel. You don't hear the drive unit. You don't feel it. It feels very agile, quick, and stiff. It's just fun to ride, and it really combines also from the pedaling assistant, the feel of a bike with really the power of an e-bike. Mm-hmm.
For those of our listeners who haven't had the chance to see the new product line, maybe we should introduce it a little bit more precisely. So what is the name? And maybe make like a imagination. Imagine we would go to a sales room and would find the two models. What would be striking immediately? What would be especially appealing?
Yeah, I think, just starting, I think we have this new product line, which we call the Urban line. And if you find it, we don't write Urban, we just sort of compressed it into these three letters, UBN, which is still spoken Urban. And we just launched the first models. One is the Urban 5, and the other one is the Urban 7. These are the two models we are offering as a starting point. The Urban 5 has a high top tube. The Urban 7 has more like a lowered top tube. And if you would enter a store, I think, first of all, what many of our customers do, or what we always recommend, is first of all, check our website, because there's so much to know about this product, which you probably cannot see through the window of your retailer. I think that's always a good first stop before you can go to your local retailer, which you can also find through our dealer search. Really get to know about the insides, because what we also say, if you buy such a bike, this is not an instance of the moment, just you whatever, buy some gum or something to drink. It's really a longer process where you maybe look at the different options to buy. So there you can configure your bike on the website and go to a store. But if you would go to a store, I think what really is, it's the design that really will appeal to you. It's the new colors. We have some new striking colors for the Urban 5. It's a silver. This is more like a matte and darker earthy green. And for the Urban 7, we have a new color, which we call rose, which is sort of like a rose gold, a little bit shiny and really attractive. And if you look at the bikes, you clearly see also in comparison to maybe other bikes or other of our bikes in the store, it looks really clean. It looks really integrated. It doesn't look like an e-bike, because you don't see the drive units sort of at the bottom very clearly. It's just very clean. There's not many things built on or sort of attached to it. Everything is integrated. If you look at the cockpit, everything is very smooth. You don't see a lot of cables or any cables at all. You also see some news that you haven't probably seen with Riesenmüller. You see in the front, we have a rigid aluminium fork, and we also offer a suspension package. In the back, we have a pannier rack. So it really is a minimalistic option to transport some luggage in the city. And if you go closer to the bike, you will also find many new components. I think we did some calculations that I think the bike has more than 90% new components. So we sourced new components, being it the new tires, being it the new saddle, just to make it fit for this purpose. Because one of the main ambitions was also, that's something, if you lift up the bike in store, you figure out it's much, very light. Or lighter than you might suspect, with around less than 90 kilograms. That's something you will also feel.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about building your own brand for this product line? Because it has the potential. I mean, it is different from the other bike models you have. Or was it never a thought you came across?
Clearly, I would say that we discussed many, many options in the beginning, but I think it was always very clear that that we wanted to integrate this into our Riesenmüller sort of brand, or Riesenmüller as a company, because I think what we also wanted to follow is really the clear Riesenmüller DNA, which is perfect engineering, great components, absolutely great product promise, high sort of no maintenance, and really to go there wherever you want. And I think that was interesting for us, or just important to say, because also in the past, if you go back, there have been some times, for instance, Blue Label, we had some different brands, and then later on we integrated them. I think that really sort of gives us also a fresh approach to new target groups, and really perfectly blends in, because there are also products in our lineup, which are a little bit comparable, so to say, if you think about a Roadster. So there are some products in the lineup which also fit there. And we also did some smaller sort of, let's say, changes. For instance, if you look on the frame, the Wiesemüller sort of decals are more like in the tone. On the head tube, we just sort of minimized it to the end. Normally, you have this R&M on the top tube very prominently. So we just try to reduce some things very slightly to really position it perfectly in our portfolio. But the thing that we have such a strong brand and strong product DNA, that it's just a perfect fit to integrate it and present it as a Wiesemüller Urban. Mm.
Speaking of components, you chose a new drive system, and the name of the drive system is Fazua. And I have to admit, I was completely misled with my assumption where it comes from. Maybe you can tell us the story of Fazua, which is not easy to, but no, I don't want to spoil. Your turn.
Yeah, indeed. Well, Fazua, that's really a big and really exciting step for us. Fazua, they are based in near Munich, in Ottobrunn in Bavaria. They're also a company which has been founded in 2013 by a couple of friends, which just really wanted also to reinvent the bike drive unit and really make it lighter, smoother, and just perfectly integrated and not so visible. And yes, the brand name Fazua, it really is derived from sort of the Bavarian word. If you're riding along and say ride on in Bavaria, they say Fazua. So really go on. It's really they're saying in their accent, in their local accent. And I think that's quite a nice story about them. And well, they really have also this approach to create better rides, as they say. And I think that's something the new drive unit absolutely fulfills.
So you consequently decided to choose components and stuff which fit to the customer's need and not looking what is your existing supply relationships, which I find really striking. It was like, for me, maybe tough decision, yeah, on an entrepreneurial side.
Yeah, indeed. But I think the starting point was really when we go back to this slide deck where we saw, okay, there is this market or we want to enter this area of e-bike as a bike. And then we looked into our portfolio and figured out, okay, what do we need? And at some point, we had many discussions with many suppliers. I think it's also important to mention that many of our system suppliers sort of find themselves at the bikes, being at Schwalbe for their tires, being at Saturi for sort of the stem and other parts. I think we really looked into many existing suppliers, but at some point it was also clear if you want to head into this direction of lightness, of integration, we need to sort of scout the market for new solutions. And I think it was just a perfect fit at the time that really if Fazua came across and say, okay, we have something in our pipeline. It's a new product. We call it Ride 60. It really is this nice combination of really a powerful drive unit with 60 Newton meter and torque and integrated or use also takeout battery. And it just perfectly fitted. And I think what was also important at that point is that I think Fazua and Wiesemüller also shared a common philosophy, both in terms of really perfect engineering, both with this approach to made in Germany and also looking into the same topics. We have the same understanding about the future of mobility. We have the same understanding about sustainability. For instance, we are both working with Sustainable, a platform where you can integrate all your suppliers to get more transparency. So we had a fit on, well, I think the personal level, because also Fazua is sort of a founder story like Wiesemüller is. Mm. We had a fit on the product level and we also had a fit on many other strategic levels. And that's how all came together and really what powers this e-bike.
Mm, sounds like a perfect match. Yeah. So you have like really an outstanding product with Urban. And I reckon people are crazy to get it. I mean, at the moment, it's even any kind of e-bikes is really highly sought after. What about delivery times? What can you promise, or at least what is so average to expect?
The good news is, I think it's much faster than purchasing a car. I think these days you have to wait more than a year or year and a half to get a new car. So rather go for an e-bike. We aim for summer this year. So in summer 2020, we aim to have this product in store and also ready for sale. We will have some test bikes in stores earlier so that consumers have the opportunity to do a test ride. I think what is also interesting that you can really configure this bike to your liking. And I think there's maybe also a difference to other products out there. We have three different frame sizes to really perfectly fit to your body length and body sort of parameters. We have different options in terms of color, in terms of functionalities. We have the suspension package. You have different options for lock. And I think that's also very nice. Also important to know is that this year we are also only selling it in Europe. And at a later point, we're also thinking about overseas market. We also know they are really keen to get this product, but then we have to wait some certification processes to be able to ship this also to international market to apply our regulations. So this is the time, but I think in summer, when it really is the warmest and the nicest to cruise through the city, then it's the possibility to purchase such a bike. And also, if you purchase a bike, you can really do this through our website with the configuration. And you get also what we call the production status. So you can go on our website and really put in a code, and then it will tell you back, okay, in this calendar week, your bike will be with your dealer mm-hmm. and will be ready to ride. So we have a clear transparency for all our customers. But clearly, as everybody currently sees with other products, supply chains are really disrupted and sometimes also disturbed. But I think we do our best to bring every bike to every customer who wants it.
So good news for our customers. There's another important topic within urban, not only urban, but all your e-bikes, and that's the keyword of connectivity. So would you say there is just like a small incremental step within urban in terms of connectivity, or is it more like a big leap?
I think it's quite a big leap forward for us as a company, but also for the users. If you go back a couple of years, I think Riesenmüller has been one of the trade places and also has won some awards with our current connectivity solution, the RX chip, really combines sort of the digital interaction with your bike. And I think what is also very important to note is when we sort of started with the RX chip, our connectivity module, we started really, what is the biggest pain of our consumers? And the biggest pain was, well, I fear that my bike will be stolen, that I cannot do something about it. And I think that the beauty about this connectivity module is through GPS and cellular connectivity and the app, it really enables us to, for instance, prevent a theft because we have a movement alarm, which really says, okay, there's something happening with your bike. We have this GPS tracking where you can directly see where your bike is. We also have an sort of automatic drive statistics where you can see how much have I been riding and how many CO2 have I been saving. And I think with the urban line, we also took this to a new level. First of all, every bike comes with a connectivity module. It's a new type of RX chip, which we developed closely with a partner in Estland, which is Comodule. It really is directly integrated into the drive unit system. So it speaks through the Canvas protocol, which means you get much more data out of the bike. What is also new is that you have a Bluetooth connection to your bike. So I always compare this like connecting to a Bluetooth speaker. Mm-hmm. And what is also interesting and what would be striking, maybe there's no display on the bike, because we said for this type of bike and this target group, the best display is something everybody has in its pocket. It's a smartphone. And with our RX Connect app, which we offer for both iOS and Android, you get this new cockpit experience. So you connect to your bike for Bluetooth. You just plug your smartphone on the handlebar. For that, we have an SP Connect mount. It's a very popular sort of smartphone mounting system. They can do different cases. You pop it on your handlebar, and then you really have the complete cockpit experience. You see, okay, in which sort of support mode am I currently riding, and so on. And when you get off your bike, sort of the app becomes sort of, yeah, the app control of your bike. You can see much of the data. You can also turn on different sort of theft protection modes. And I think that's also something which we took away further, that we have now an integrated alarm. So we have an alarm siren and the lights which are blinking. So if you whatever put your bike in a city and in front of a restaurant, coffee or the club outside at night, you surely should sort of lock it. We also offer different lock options, like the Arbus Shield, for instance. And but if someone would sort of try to steal the bike, it will really try to avoid it by having a loud, noisy 90 decibel alarm and the blinking lights. And I think that's also a new form sort of connectivity. And also very interestingly, it's just a starting point. We have many more ideas up our sleeves, thinking about navigation through the city, think about new and additional features. For instance, we also will offer a component or sort of motor lock. So you just have no drive support where the motor is hindering you to ride your bike. I think that's one of many, many solutions we have. And it all is combined also with our services. On the one hand side, we have Connect Ride, which is sort of the app service, also offering Connect Care, and particularly in Germany and in some selected markets, where we offer the theft recovery service. So when your bike is stolen, you just report it to us, and our bike hunters get out there and we retrieve your bike. And I think that's also very nice moment for many of our consumers when they instantly get their bike back, which probably has been stolen or has been taken away. I think that's just quite a big step forward to connect every bike and also make the app sort of the central piece on ride and off the bike.
Mm, it's pretty cool. We've already talked about it. You are always, I would say, very open and interested in an open exchange, and not only within your company, but also across company boundaries. How did you proceed within this project? Was it more like a traditional routine development process, or was it more like a interdisciplinary team building or team process? How would you describe the invention of Urban?
For the invention, I think we really took a new approach, which we haven't done before. We really brought together a team of experts from every areas, from digital, from engineering, from innovation, to really work on it together from the beginning. Because we said, this is not just about a product. And that's also an observation we did with other brands or in the market. And that's also something you see in the automotive sector. We said, this is not about a product. It's also about connectivity. It's about also services. And it's about understanding. So we really had a sort of own project room where we all met and worked together. And also in the beginning, we did a lot of research. We created a persona to really get a clear understanding who is really the target group. A persona is sort of an example of someone of this target group to work towards. We did a lot of research about what are the future cities, what are the connectivity ideas, did a lot of brainstorming. And I think this was a completely new process for us, but really showed us how important it is to sort of combine all these different disciplines, because in the current time, the bike is not only about sort of, let's say, the aluminium frame, it's much more than that. And I think that's also something we want to follow up in the future, clearly, because this is a very interesting way to work. And also in this project, I think we see that software is becoming increasingly important in e-bikes. I think we're already at a sort of 50-50 tipping point, where the software, the firmware, the connectivity software have such a high impact on the product compared to such, well, let's say the hard components, the hardware of the bike. So I think this is an involvement that will take place. And it was quite an interesting process for us to bring all these people together. And it was also fun for everybody to work on it, because it really brought different disciplines together. And this is oftentimes very enriching for the people. It's surely also a new process, so it's not always easy. if somebody who isn't a designer is giving feedback on a design, or someone who isn't a sort of digital expert is thinking about a new idea, but we always try to to really open up a sort of, it's really like this design thinking method where if you have this double diamond, really open up and say, okay, this is now the time to really be crazy, have many ideas. And at a later point, really try to sort of condense it. What are really the most important and most effective ideas? And what ideas could we also take to the backlog to say, well, what about navigation by air quality? Or what about sharing this bike with other people? I think we have so many ideas that we will also bring in the future, maybe across also other models. For sure.
You can use it for later on. And in my experience, this is the really crucial point when you have to decide which of the massive load of ideas will you pick and really develop. And what about a production department or division? Were they also involved? Or what did they say to what was their reaction on Urban?
I think we at Riese & Müller have a really good sort of tendency to involve everybody at the right moment. Clearly, if you start with the product development phase, it doesn't make sense to really sort of go out and then shout us out into the entire company. But I think we are very good to involve everyone at the right time. For instance, we also have colleagues for production engineering, which are really sitting directly into our research and development department. So they really, when the first prototypes arrive or the first parts, they really can get their hands on it and work in our pilot lab, which is sort of like a pre-stage of our production unit, to work with it, give some feedback to the suppliers back and forth. So I think that was quite interesting. And also we try to really cascade the communication through our company. We started with our sales and our sort of the entire sales and international department, because they are in the end at the forefront to sell this product and really bring it to market, convince our dealers and consumers. And then we took it to team leads, to our production lead and our unit leads, and also presented it to the production unit. At Riese & Müller, we work in different production unit. Every unit is around 35 to 40 persons. They work on a closed production unit on certain models. And they were really excited. We also did we have a sort of social intranet where we did a video from Heiko where we presented the new strategy and a new product. And I think that's one of the posts that got the most comments and most smileys. And also the production unit was really excited. They were like, okay, we are ready. Our tools are ready. We will charge our tools and drills and so on. They were really excited. Clearly, it's always, and it's also, we mentioned, a big step. Technologically, it's really in some ways complex to manufacture. But we say if we have a great end result at the consumer, it's worthwhile to really take this complexity in-house and to solve it. Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of our talk, what are the next topics on your innovation journey when you're looking more towards the future? We started with future and we will end with future.
Yes, looking from the present into the future, that's like really daily task. Well, everybody involved in this project, and I think that's also important to mention that so many people have been involved in both on supplier side, but also internally. I think I try to count them. It's more like a three-digit number of people involved at different parties to bring this to life. I think what we are working on the first hand side, and it's also something maybe some of the listeners have asked themselves, where 5 and 7, there are some numbers missing. Mm-hmm. We really intentionally started with 5 and 7 to leave some room in the middle and also at the top and at the bottom. And now it's really time to really work on the, let's say, next numbers, because we see a huge potential in this area for sure. Clearly, we're also working on next features and next developments and bring those bikes in the quality and with the digital sort of ecosystem into the market in summer. So that's one point. And we are also heading into a direction to create new services and new business models, because what we also see is that in these days, it's not just, well, you buy your bike in cash and that's it. I think we see many new business models, being at leasing, financing your bike, being a business bike, which is very popular in many areas and regions. Also new subscription sort of services are entering the market where you have this all in one package and just pay a monthly fee for your bike. So this is really an area which we're working on and really trying to observe the trends and also next steps, and also to push more for sustainability in those bikes. I think we have done a lot with different cooperation partners. We have created a good sourcing of components in Europe, really push this product. But I think that there's still a huge potential there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds really like busy days lying ahead of you. So, dear Markus, thank you very much for taking your time talking to us and talking to me here on this channel. And I wish you continued success for Urban, not only for Urban, for all your projects. And take care. Thank you very much, Markus.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Riese und Müller Unplugged, the podcast for everything that gets us in motion. If you want to hear more, be sure to listen to our other episodes.